You're welcome back.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Tonight, the much-anticipated ratification of Ghana's lithium mining deal with Barari DV is facing further delays as the government seeks to amend the law on royalties. Well, the current agreement, which offers a 5% royalty rate, has been widely criticized by civil society organizations and other groups.
Well, the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Emmanuel Amakofibua, told journalists earlier at a press conference that government will introduce legislation to extract a significant increase in royalties for the country.
Technically speaking, what you could refer to was the original one, which says that 5%. I'm very happy to inform you that we've worked closely with the Attorney General. We'll be coming to, once we finish your cabinet, will be coming to Parliament with a new instrument that will permanently lay a complete comprehensive guideline on royalties, not only in the lithium sector, but in all minerals. It's very important we do so, having learned lessons as we go forward. Learn lessons. It was very clear, for example, not too long ago, the an ounce of gold was what? 1,900, 2,500, went over 3,000 and close to 4,000. There's no other mechanism for you to do any adjustment, for example. And so I thought this is the opportunity for us to basically review all of that. And so to balance this objective, government is proposing a lawful sliding scale royalty mechanism. This structure is designed to safeguard investment and jobs while maintaining a competitive base royalty during periods of low prices, thus ensuring the project's viability. So concurrently, it serves to maximize the national benefit by automatically increasing the royalty rate when lithium prices exceed an agreed upon threshold, ensuring Ghana secures a greater share of the value during market upswings. This approach is not succession, but a strategic tool to prevent the project from stalling while guaranteeing the nation gains a fair share of the value when market conditions improve. And there has been a lot of argument. Some people were arguing that, when we negotiated a price at $3,000, the royalty was at 10%. I can tell you that what the sliding scale we are doing here is going to probably ensure using a more beneficial approach, because we foresee, for example, that at $3,000, we are not only going to achieve the 10% royalty as has been negotiated, but we are also putting in mechanisms that when the prices go beyond $3,000, we'll go beyond 10%.
So that's the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Emmanuel Amakofibua, there. And he also said at that particular press conference that government is still open to the idea of state-led utilization of the resources.
And in fact, President Mahama is open to anything that will get Ghana to win. This is the government that has been preaching empowerment of the Ghanaian. This is government. This is the government that simply signaled that the times when Ghanaians were at the back of the bus is over, and that Ghanaians now can't drive, especially in the mining sector. That is why we are saying that we now can really nurture big Ghanaian companies, not only to be ordinary contractors in industries, but to own large-scale mining companies and push. We are the ones that are setting that example. We'll be excited. Let the Ghanaians with the capacity come forward with those proposals. I will support it.
And again, the Lands and Natural Resources Minister also said that with this ratification set to delay, government is not under any pressure to get to the finish line.
Fact, once the agreement is in Parliament, it is really in the custody of Parliament. And I'm very happy to know that as fifth-term member of Parliament, I know the workings of Parliament. I know that this committee is going to do a very thorough job. They have a long journey. I know they've lined up engagement with key stakeholders, including CSOs, including the chiefs, including the community. I believe they are going to basically also start this engagement, this journey. Today, for example, I know they are meeting some of the chiefs from Mankensim, this committee. So it's something that they are going to welcome. So we are working on a parallel path, and I believe we'll converge. And ultimately, this is what I'm saying, by the time we finish, weeks, I have already finished the, as I said, we've already have the draft. We have the drafters who have really informed us that they'll be able to get it to us by today. We'll continue the engagement once we have it. And then I'm finally going to take it to cabinet, get cabinet to look at it. I've already had a preliminary engagement with key stakeholders even before we started the journey.
Well, you heard that the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Emmanuel Lama Kufibua. So my colleague and also our parliamentary affairs correspondent, Kwikwa Sante, was at this press conference. Kwikwa Sante was at this press conference and joins us now via the telephone lines. Kwikwa, good evening. Thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Well, since the minister held this press conference, have we had any reaction from the minority yet?
Well, not at the moment. In fact, at this news conference, prior to this news conference happening, a number of both MPs from both sides of the aisle were there because they're going to hold meetings with the minister on these subjects. And a lot of them telling me that they want some constructive engagement to happen going forward. There's some of them telling me off the record that they are concerned that the minister appears to be dilly-dallying, but they are open to any change of law which will ensure that the country will get more from its resources. So even though we are yet to get them on the record, they say that if government brings any good faith attempt to ensure that the county gets much more from its resources like lithium, what is the current subject, they are very much open to looking at that, and they are waiting for the minister to take the regulation to cabinet. If it gets approval, then it will come to parliament, and then they will look at that.
And what more happened in the house today?
Well, a lot has been happening regarding the various estimates of the ministry, departments and agencies. One of the approvals that did generate some storm in the chamber was that of the special prosecutor Hassan Tampoli, MP for Gusegu, making a debate on the floor while the estimate for the OSC was being considered, making the point that he believed that the NDC were going after or hounding independent constitutional bodies like the OSP, for instance, and that all these petitions that have gone to the president for the removal of Mr. Kesey Debrina are all made up. He made that point, but there was a forceful fierce response from the majority leaders, if I should say, who have been pushing back, insisting that there's no such attempt. And then there have been certain comments from Adina MP as well as the Mainsia North MP as well.
Kwikwa Sante, our parliamentary affairs correspondent, thank you so much for bringing us update on from Parliament.
Let's now bring in the Vice Chairman on the Lands and Natural Resources Committee of Parliament, Sanja Nanja. There, thank you for your time this evening. The Lands and Natural Resources Minister earlier at this news conference told journalists that government will introduce a legislation to extract a significant increase in royalties for the Republic. If this eventually gets to Parliament, how much percentage are we looking at?
Good evening.
I can hear you, sir.
Warmest greetings to you and your listeners this evening. And thank you for reaching out to me. Yes, I think we all need, we want something better for Ghana. And the lithium, as it is a new area we are now venturing into. And it has generated its own issues, especially on the royalties that we pay to the assemblies, and then the chiefs. And if there is anything to say, if the minister is bringing something, I think we are all waiting to see what actually is in the new reforms he's bringing, especially with the LI that he's going to introduce. The LI is to actually regulate the way we, it is to give direction to how the act is going to be implemented. And secondly, we are going to, there is also going to be amendments to the current Act 206, Act 703. So it will be a welcoming news if it's bringing something that will benefit Ghanaians, because we are saying that as our act is now, if the amendment we are expecting now that for the Act 703 is that it will help us fight corruption. Galamsey.
Okay.
So, and then a new issue has risen on the royalties. If you look at the act pegs royalties to be between 3% and 6%. That is, it says that shall not be more than 6% and not less than 3%. So, if I got your question right, if the minister is bringing a proposal that will increase or will have from his press release today, will give us the flexibility to negotiate royalties rather than the way it is stated in the act, it will be a very welcoming news.
Okay, this has been ongoing for more than 2 years now. The people, especially in the Ewoya enclave, are yearning for this deal to finally go through. The minister said, although government is not under any pressure, but can you give any assurance to the people of Ewoya that this issue will be dealt with once and for all as soon as possible?
Oh, yes. It will be done very soon. And The agreement is laid in Parliament. It's now in our, it has been referred to our committee, and we have started, as much as we will want to rectify the concession, the agreement for Ghanaians to benefit from it, especially those living within the catchment area. The employment aspect, the other social benefits that they are going to get.
Okay.
We have to look at the interest of the Ghanaian first.
Mm.
So in this case, unlike the previous parliament, on the old parliament, the issues were three. It was bordering on these royalties, where then the minister then said he had negotiated, and it was stated in the agreement, negotiated for 10%. 10% royalties, and the argument was that the 10% was illegal because it had no grounding in law. So that was one of the issues. And then some other civil society organizations like Imani, IEA, had brought issues up. They had petitioned, they had brought memos stating their position. So at that time, we were in opposition, and we said, no, we cannot hurry pass or rectify the lease until we hear from these people. So currently, yes, the people are yearning. After the minister's press statement, we met with the chiefs from that area, and we have given them all the assurances that we will fast track it, but we will not do it in a way that it will be a disadvantage to Ghanaians.
Mm. All right, Mr. Sanja Nanja, thank you very much for your time this evening. That's the Vice Chairman on the Lands and Natural Resources Committee in Parliament. Still on the telephone line, Spell.
Also joining us right now is Akwesi Kunedu, and he's a Deputy Ranking Member on the Lands and Natural Resources Committee. Good evening, and thank you for your time on Newsnight. You have heard the Lands Minister. He says he'll be coming to Parliament with a new ally to ensure we get more in royalties, not just in lithium, but in all minerals. Does this address your earlier concerns from the minority side?
Hello, good evening. I hope you can hear me well.
I can hear you well.
Thank you very much. First and foremost, let me say, it is needless for the minister to tell us that up until we can get anything better in terms of royalties for our natural resources, he ought to bring to us an airline that is going to regulate how much we have to earn in terms of royalties. But first and foremost, there is no subsidiary legislation, i.e. an act, a legislative instrument, that is greater or higher or supreme than our constitution. And none of these acts, allies, can confer a concession, the validity of it, or a lease for the right to mine in any minerals in this country over and above what the constitution says in Article 2681. And secondly, and most importantly, royalties are charged on the gross revenue.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Of the company that is mining, i.e. whether profitability or not. So as much as the person mines and the rate or the prices of it goes up, the percentage you strike as per the royalty also definitely goes up or goes down with it. So if you tell me you are now coming to give us a range in your airline that they call the sliding scale of royalty, I think it is needless. We are only boxing ourselves into a corner where we believe sincerely that our negotiation ability is weak. And that is why we would want to do that. And why do I say so? None of the acts that they talk about is super and above the Constitution Article 260. And the validity of whatever you use the airline to do can only stand when it is ratified by Parliament. When you and I read Article 268 of the Constitution, it tells us, in whatever form that agreement may come, whether a contract, agreement, and understanding for natural resources in this country, it must be ratified by Parliament for that to have validity. So whatever we decide to put into an agreement for proper negotiation is what we are going to have. And once Parliament passes that, that becomes the agreement. So I don't see where we are going forth and back with an airline to regulate a sliding scale for a percentage to put at 3, when it rises about $200, we increase it to 5%, and when it goes above 1,000, then we increase it to 10% of it. In any case, what is going to be the baseline rate that we are going to use to do the percentage calculations upwards? If we believe an airline can confer validity of a contract or a lease in terms of natural resource mining, then you should go ahead and do that rather than worrying us with all of these things. You see, it is only because they've wasted this country's time and the people of Awoye's time for the past 3 years. This started way back in 2003, prospecting and whatever started in 2015. And now because they would want to find something to do and they fell short and they were left backwards with, in terms of the negotiation, bringing us back to 5%. They need to put something out there in the domain to tell us that they are now going to bring an airline to regulate how we negotiate for percentages. I mean, this is incomprehensible.
I will leave the conversation here for now, Mr. Akwesi Kunedu, and he's a deputy ranking member on the Lands and Natural Resources Committee in Parliament.
And to other stories this evening, the Ghana Water Limited has accepted the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PRC's, new 15.92% tariff increment for 2026 to 2030. The new rate granted by the PRC, which also gives the Electricity Company of Ghana 9.86%, kicks start from January next year. Well, this comes after months of consultation with the utility service providers, stakeholders, and citizens across the country. We'll get more on this shortly, but first, Head of Research at Joy News, Isaac Kofi-Eje, has joined us in the studio to help us break down the figures. Kofi, let's start with how much these companies have demanded and how much has been granted.
Well, so Ken, you remember that Ghana Water Limited was demanding some 281% increase in their tariff, and they got 9.86%. For ECG, ECG was demanding 225% increase in their tariff. They got, they got 9.86%, and Ghana Water Company got 15.92%. So technically, if you look at the numbers, proposals versus the actual approvals, you can see the variance is very, very wide. But what we know per the data that we've been gathering since 2018 is that usually utility companies will go very high in terms of their proposals, but in terms of the approval within the last from 2018 to 2025, the average we've checked for, ECG has been around 15% increase, and for Ghana Water Company has also been around that same average. The highest we have seen so far in terms of the multi-year tariff adjustment was in 2022, when ECG got more than 20% increase in their tariff, which was simply also, even around that time, lower than what they proposed.
And what did PURC consider in arriving at these rates?
Different for the two utility companies. For ECG, for instance, there was a lot on the generation mix that was really considered, inflation, the exchange rate situation, all of that was considered. Based on what the Ghana Water Company also submitted to PURC, you could see that they were very, very heavy on illegal mining. The fact that, in September, Ghana Water Company made it clear that if you don't approve the 280, that we are requesting for, we could face a shutdown, because most of our plants are currently being threatened by illegal miners, and we needed a lot for operational and maintenance costs. But unfortunately, they did not get the 281% that they requested for. They only got about 15.92%.
And of course, it's ultimately the consumer that's going to bear the brunt. What does this mean for the average consumer?
So I'd want us to focus on electricity, for instance. I know that based on the data we have, those who consume between 0 to 30 kilowatt hour are those who fall within the lifeline, right? So if you take the extreme of this range, so let's assume that within a month you are consuming 30 kilowatt hour and you're falling within the lifeline bracket. Currently, what you pay to ECG as, distribution service charge is 2 cedis 40 pesos. Now, based on this new adjustment from January or from the first quarter of next year, you are going to pay 2 cedis 64 pesos to ECG as distribution service charge. And if you are within the bracket of 300 kilowatt hour, which majority of Ghanaians, or on the average, this is where majority of Ghanaians are, you currently pay 5 cedis 46 pesos per every, for that 300 kilowatt hour that you consume to ECG as, distribution service charge. But now, if this is approved, already approved, but if this takes effect in, the first quarter of next year, that 5 cedis 46 pesos is going to increase to 6 cedis as your, the service, distribution service charge that you pay to ECG. So clearly, consumers should expect some upward adjustment. And for the fact that even the first quarter of 2026 will also come with its own automatic tariff adjustment.
Kofi Eje is the head of research here at Joy News. Thank you, Kofi.
And joining us for a conversation on this, Stanley Mate, he's a communications manager at the Ghana Water Limited. Also, Collins Adomako Mensah, ranking member on the Energy Committee. And then later, we'll speak to Dr. Eric Obute, Director of Research and Corporate Affairs at the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. But now we'll start with the Ghana Water Limited. Mr. Stanley Mate, good evening and thank you for your time on Newsnight. Now, you have accepted the 15.92% tariff increment, which was approved by the PRC. But before the determination of this rate, You told us that you may have to shut down if you don't get a significant margin because of the rising cost of treatment. Now, how will you survive with this new figure? Mr. Marty, can you hear me? Unfortunately, we don't have Mr. Marty on the line. We do have him now, Mr. Marty. Stanley Marty, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Bill.
Well, I was saying that before the determination of this new rate, you told us that you may have to shut down if you don't get a significant margin because of the rising cost of treatment, of course, because of the galamsey menace. How will you survive now with the 15.92%?
All right. Thank you very much for having me, Abel. Okay, so this has been the usual practice. You know, the PLC gives us a formula, and then we have to input in our operational costs, our financials, and everything. And then based on that, we will arrive at a certain figure. And that is why we arrived at the 281% increment. Okay. But the usual practice is that they also go and do their own calculations, and then they come out with their own tariffs. Now, the tariffs are such that they have line items. So we are going to look at the line items within and in the tariff as proposed to us or as given to us, and then we will work with it as it is. Now, we have always been managing this organization over all this while prudently, and that is why we are able to survive. We'll keep managing and hope that we'll be able to improve despite what we have. And that has been our mission and our vision. So we'll work hard and ensure that we serve the people of Ghana efficiently.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stanley Marty. He's the communications manager at the Ghana Water Limited. Kenneth, we have other people to speak to.
We can now speak to Dr. Eric Obute, who is the Director of Research and Corporate Affairs at the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. Thank you for your time once again. There were demands by other entities like NETCO, VRA, and so on. So far, we've not heard anything from their side. Were theirs approved as well?
Hello, thank you very much for having me on this platform. I just first and foremost want to correct a few figures which were put out by your research fellow. I think he said his name is Kofi or something like that. If I heard him right, he was saying something like the service charge, if you are a lifeliner, is 2 cedis 46 pesos. That is incorrect. The service charge is 2 cedis 13 pesos. And that service charge has not changed. The service charge is 2 cedis 13 pesos, and it has not changed. Now, if you are a lifeline consumer, currently you pay 80 pesos per kilowatt hour. Actually, 80.43 pesos per kilowatt hour. However, we are seeing that from January 2026, if you are a lifeliner, you will pay 88.37 pesos. That means that effectively 8 pesos has been added to every unit of consumption in that bracket. Again, also, he says that if you are in an other residential customer between 0 to 300, your rate is about 5 cedis 45 pesos or so. I think that's what he said. That's also incorrect. The rate there currently, if you are a life, if you are consuming between 0 to 300, and it's all in the statement, actually. If you are consuming between 0 to 300, you pay 1 CD 82 pesos for every unit of electricity you consume. Right now, you pay 1 CD 82 pesos. From January 2026, you pay 2 CDs. So effectively, you are paying 18 pesos in addition to what you are paying now.
Okay. Like, Dr. Obute, thanks for the clarification, but Isaac Ofiaje is back in the studio. He also wants to clarify a few things, Isaac.
So, I mean, we have to pay attention that what we said was that if you look at the different brackets, we are taking the extremes. So, for instance, if you take the lifeline consumers, it's between 0 and 30. And we understand that if you look at the PRC's current tariff, if you are consuming per kilowatt hour, you need to pay attention. 80 pesos currently. The new charge or the new tariff adjustment will take it to 88 pesos per kilowatt hour. if you are multiplying it by the highest number of 30 kilowatt hour, that is 2 cedis 40 pesos for the current one and 2 cedis 64 pesos if, I mean, this one takes effect in January. If you are looking at the 0 to 300 kilowatt hour, we took the extreme number of 300 because the average data shows that majority of Ghanaians are within this bracket. So if you are looking at 300 kilowatt hour, per kilowatt hour is 1 cedi 82 pesos. And that's the current one. And if we take the adjustment in January, that is 2 cedis per kilowatt hour. If you multiply that by the 300 kilowatt hour that we are looking at, that gives you 5 cedis 46 pesos for the current one and 6 cedis if the new adjustment takes effect.
Thank you, Kofi.
5 cedis 46 pesos for what? Because we need to be very clear on some of these numbers so that we don't confuse the public.
Doctor,
it's not as simple as the computation because we have what we call the reckoner. And the reckoner, we have a reckoner which you use to do a computation, so you get a final figure for the end user. But what is done is just taking the face value of it. We could go through the numbers.
Right.
That's what we have to do.
Dr. Obute, we will go through the numbers on a different day. But now, though, I want to find out from you what the other demands of the entities, what's the status of it? We know of NETCO, VRA, and so on. They also made some demands, but we've not heard anything. Were theirs approved?
Yes. So you see the 9.86 is across board for all the people in the value chain. So it's from generation through transmission to distribution. So the 9.86 cuts across. It's just that every aspect of the value chain, they have their VRA has its own tariff in there. The IPPs have their own tariff. Each IPP has its own tariff. The transmitting company, GRIDCO, has its own tariff. And the distribution service company, that's NETCO and ECG, also have their own tariffs. But on the whole, if you put it together in the basket, the weighted percentage is 9.86.
Okay. All right, thank you very much for the clarification. Dr. Eric Obute is the Director of Research.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Search and Corporate Affairs with the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. Collins Adumakumensa is a ranking member on the Energy Committee. He's joined us on the telephone lines right now. Thank you very much for your time. Does the minority accept this new rate that is coming to effect?
Well, first of all, let me correct. I am the deputy ranking on the Energy Committee.
Right.
And I was enjoying the debate between your research officer and the PR from PRC. Bottom line is that from the 1st of January, there's going to be some increase. Consumers should brace themselves to accommodate that increase. Now, I want to congratulate the PRC for one thing. They did a lot of consultations before this particular announcement. This particular announcement is quite different from the quarterly adjustment that normally occurs within the year. This is what we call the major tariff adjustment, which normally occurs after 3 or 5 years. We're made to understand that there were some capital expenditures, major capital expenditures, that had to be undertaken by the utility agencies. And that is what this announcement is to take care of. The initial announcement of 200-something% was obviously not going to be accepted. And if you recall, on this same platform, both myself and the chairman of the Energy Committee were very clear in our mind that there was no way we were going to accept a 200% increment to take care of capital expenditures. So in as much as we are not too much excited about an increment, I think a 9% is far better than the 200-something% increment. However, Ghanaians should brace ourselves because it's likely that at the end of the first quarter, based on the economic factors, they could come back to announce another increment.
Collins Adumako Mensah, thank you very much. That's the deputy ranking member on the Energy Committee. And that takes us to business. And George is here with the latest. George, what do you have
and
for us?
It's an interesting discussion because industries are also saying that some of them could end up passing on that cost to you as a consumer to pay in terms of these tariffs that are expected to go up from next year.
Yeah.
And government likely to end 2025 with a record inflation after November rate reached its lowest since 2021. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, your number. Welcome back to business on Newsnight. Now, industries and manufacturing firms have indicated that they'll have no other option than to pass on the cost of duty hikes to consumers. Electricity and water tariffs are said to witness one of its highest increases in recent times, starting from January next year. The move is part of the multi-year tariff order implementation by the industry regulator, PURC. Sir Chuma Kwabua is chief executive of the Association of Ghana Industries.
There are some companies that energy cost constitutes a significant part of their cost of production. It could go as high as 30% in the case of the steel industry because it consumes so much power. In their case, if you have at almost 10% increase in tariff levels, naturally they cannot absorb all of it because it means so much cost to them and it impacts heavily on their bottom line. For those that energy costs may not be as significant, and therefore they probably can absorb it, they will do so. Remember, even when they are adjusting their prices, it's not proportionate to the changes in the energy cost because there are other elements of the cost that they are taking into account. They also take account of the competition and so on and so forth. So the companies will adjust differently. My only comment...
Chief Executive of the Association of Ghana Industries, Seth Chum Akwabua. Now, government is likely to end the year with a record inflation rate still keeping within that single-digit band. Now, this was after the November rate hit 6.3%, the lowest since the rebasing in 2021. There is more in this report.
Government at the beginning of this year was hoping to end 2025 with an inflation rate of 11.9%. However, it is now clear that government will end the year beating that target, and it is now doing far better than what it had projected. Again, it was expected that government will end the year achieving the lower band of the single-digit inflation. Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Johnson Isiama recently disclosed that they are hoping to end the year with an inflation rate of about 4%. This development could put some fresh pressure on the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana to cut its rate further when they meet in January 2026. According to the Ghana Statistical Service, the drop in the November inflation was influenced by declining price of some foodstuff as well as non-food items. The November rate of 6.3% is the 11th consecutive decline since December last year and the lowest since the rebasing of the inflation since 2021. The Ghana Statistical Service also cites current fiscal consolidation program being implemented by government as well as the current liquidity squeeze by the Bank of Ghana as a major contributing factor. Data showed that inflation rate for imported items was far lower than items that were produced locally. On the food side, inflation could have been lower than what was recorded for the month of November if it had not been items such as charcoal, smoked herrings, and fresh plantain, which were among the top three items that contributed to the current inflation levels.
And that is a business desk report. Meanwhile, government statistician Dr. Hassan Idrisu has been explaining why imported inflation is lower than locally produced items.
Imported inflation is heavily influenced by exchange rate movements. And as I mentioned, we've seen significant appreciation of the cedi against the US, in fact, against all major major foreign currencies. And so once we've seen significant appreciation of the currency, all other things being equal, what it means is that your inflation on imported items are likely to what? To go down. So that's one of the reasons why we are seeing a very fast disinflation process for imported items. But I must also say that, you know, these are goods that we are importing into the system. And because we are importing, it means they are coming from outside. And so if the prices outside, if the global conditions are favorable in terms of prices, then you'd also see this fast disinflation we are seeing on imported items.
Dr. Alhassan Idrisu is a government statistician. Now, CalBank now has the required capital and funds at hand to aid its expansion drive and growth as a financial institution. Now, this is coming after the bank was able to raise more than 1 billion Ghana cedis in private placement. The amount secured is more than the 900 million Ghana cedis targeted during the offer. CalBank, in a statement issued to investors, noted that this will help in rebuilding the capital buffers, strengthen its balance sheet, and support bigger transactions. Now, Director of Procurement at Ghana Great Company, Benjamin Kinford Instant, is urging increased private sector investment in transmission infrastructure to strengthen power distribution in the country. Speaking at the West African Energy Corporation Summit, he stressed that such investments are vital to advancing regional power integration.
The power sector is such that you have the three linkages: generation, transmission, and distribution. If you have all the power plants and you don't have the transmission bit of it, the power will not get to the distributor who distributes to our homes. So requirement of investment in transmission is critical. Otherwise, you produce the power and it never gets to where it's needed. It's like having a water company producing the water and then there's no pipeline to get the water to where it's needed.
And that is the Director of Procurement at the Ghana Great Company, Benjamin Kinsford Intel. Now, to other story, the Chief Executive and Country Head of AMPLE, Dr. Rafik Dawdy, says that the company is leveraging technology to bridge Ghana's large informal sector. He adds that the approach is expanding access to insurance, supported by the 24-hour service commitment. He spoke to Joy Business at the rebranding of Metropolitan Insurance.
Everything about our company, our business, our products, our services, and everything. And we are also 24-hour service away from you, and so you can always reach us as and when you actually require our services. We believe that technology should bridge the gap between the formal and the informal sector. For instance, the mobile platform is gaining currency because, though it's technology-driven, but it appeals to the informal sector. We have a large informal sector in this country. Nearly 80% of the workforce in this country is in the informal sector. So technology is going to play a mediating role. Already, we have rolled out a number of technology-driven products that are expanding insurance reach in this country and creating value for our customers.
Dr. Rafik Dawdy is a Chief Executive and Country Head of AMPLE. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Back to you, Kenneth.
Well, thank you very much, George. Let's bring in sports now.
In 2021, MTN FA Cup champions Accra Hearts of Oak suffered a shock early exit from this season's competition after a 1-0 defeat to Division 2 side True Life FC at the round of 64 stage. The Phobians fell off a morale boosting victory over Vision FC on Sunday, had hoped to build on that momentum at Pobiman Sports Complex. Instead, they were stunned late in the game. Head coach Didi Dramani opted to rotate his squad, handing opportunities to several fringe players. The decision backfired as True Life FC capitalized in the 78th minute, scoring the only goal of the game to seal its famous victory. The defeat marks the second time in 3 years that Hearts of Oak have been eliminated by lower division side at the same venue, adding to the club's growing frustrations in the FA Cup. That's all for sports. Back to you guys.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. Let's bring you more stories tonight, because chiefs of the Aguna Nyakrum traditional area are calling on government to take urgent action against illegal mining in the eastern region upstream of the Ayensu River. Though the community previously resisted Galamsey on its own lands, renewed activity upstream has now polluted the river. The main source for the Kwanyakrum water treatment plant serving Aguna Nyakrum and surrounding communities. The contamination is affecting more than 10 districts in the central region, leaving thousands without access to clean water. Emmanuel Jivanu has more in today's episode of Dear Mahama, Stop Galamsey.
The Ayensu River is being destroyed by people who think they came into this world only to chase wealth.
The chiefs in the Aguna Nyakrum traditional area are in a council meeting. They are meeting because an old wound has been reopened.
Our leaders are complicit in this illegal mining. I don't have that kind of money to buy equipment for illegal mining.
Years ago, they fought and stopped illegal miners who attempted to dig close to the Ayensu River within their lands They resisted and protected the river. They won the battle, but the war has returned. The river they saved is dying because of illegal mining in Apepem of the eastern region.
Now, for about 10 years,
For 10 years, the water's color has been changing. Our investigation in Apepemo confirmed illegal mining. If you fetch the water, you see sand particles. This past year, it has become worse.
Almost 1 year, I feel the eye worse.
The Kwenyako treatment plant, which feeds about 10 districts, is now struggling to feed even one. As the chiefs sit in council, frustrated by the Galamsey crisis upstream, the impact hits residents like Kofi. He has no choice but to use the polluted Ayensu River.
We cannot use the Ayensu River anymore. It was our only source of water for cooking and drinking. But today, it is no longer safe. Our community leaders must act. We, the youth, cannot confront the illegal miners operating in faraway town. We are pleading with our leaders to take action.
With the Ayensu River heavily polluted and the treatment plant failing, an equally polluted stream is now a source of water for many households.
Well, let's take you now to the Upper East region, and as part of efforts to promote agroecology as a climate adaptation and mitigation strategy in Ghana, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Organizational Development has engaged district assembly officials in that region on the benefits of sustainable farming practices. The meeting dubbed the Agroecology Caravan Tour brought together coordinating directors, budget and financial officers and environmental officers, and included a field visit to a farm where participants experienced agroecology in practice. Correspondent Albert Sori reports for Climate Focus.
The Ghana Agroecology Movement includes the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Organizational Development, SICOD, the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, PFAG, and other farmer groups nationwide. The movement has been pushing for the adoption and investment into agroecology, a farming method based on applying the interactions between plants, animals, humans, and the environment within agricultural systems. SICOD recently brought together district assembly officials from three districts of the Upper East region to discuss the benefits of agroecology. Deputy Executive Director for SICOD, Wilberforce Lati, emphasized the need for a shift from chemical-based farming to agroecology.
Agroecology hinges on our indigenous practices. The issue about recycling, synergy between crops and animals and all that, biodiversity, these are all elements or principles of agroecology. And we believe that if we embark on those things, we will not rely so much on external inputs for agriculture. And that is when we will be able to save a lot of money. Government must be intentional about promoting it.
And that's how we end Newsnight tonight. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. My name is Kenneth Jesse.
My name is Pearl Ofori.